Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's March. Duke is always about March and the postseason. What is the mentality once you guys hit the postseason?
Killers kill. Killers kill.
It's a life lesson. That's from Zion Williamson, Mully and Haw on the score. And let's get out to Jerry Palm. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Jerry.
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Well, we're all excited. This is your time of year. You had it all picked already. Any surprises for you? Was there any? I think you missed one team.
Nice job, Jerry.
I mean, my goodness, Jerry.
Nicely done. Yeah.
Thank you. Belmont was the team that I missed. Didn't have a very good strength of schedule, and their only win over a team in the field was Murray State. That said, I mean, they still were had done well against Quadrant 1 and Quadrant 2, which the committee likes. Like the fact that they were a pretty efficient offensive team. I saw them against Purdue this year at Mackey Arena, and Purdue had them pretty good up until maybe 10 minutes or so to go, and they made a run and closed it up a little bit, but Purdue won by, I want to say, 11 or so. So they're a pretty good team that's got an NBA guy on the roster. They have a chance to win a couple of games now that they're in. You know, that's the thing. Once you get in, if you can't get in, you can play your way out of a bad seed, but you can't play your way out of not being selected. And Belmont's got a chance to win a couple of games.
Jerry, Michigan State being seeded second and relegated to the Eastern bracket, along with, you know, with Duke, seems like the wrong place to be for a Big Ten champion. Would they have been better off losing in the Big Ten tournament and maybe going elsewhere? And what did you think of that decision?
Well, I mean, it was exactly the way they bracket. It's based on geography. So, you know, when they're doing the two seeds, Tennessee's the top two, they go in to the closest region for them. The only rule there is that the top two can't be with the top one. So they couldn't be with Duke, but they wouldn't have anyway. They go to Louisville, and then Michigan State goes to the closest region for them, and that's available because Louisville's not. They go to Washington, D.C. That's just the way it works. Had they lost that game, they'd probably have been in Michigan's spot, and they get Gonzaga's region, but their fans can't go because the games are all in Anaheim. So, you know, they want to make it so that the fans can go to the game. That's something that all of the schools have say they'd prefer. So, look, if you're going to win this tournament, you got to beat Duke. You can't whine about having to play Duke eventually, so go beat them.
You know, as I look at three ACC teams among the number one seeds, and maybe that speaks to how good those teams are, or maybe when we look at the Big Ten getting the most teams in it, that's a more balanced conference. I don't know how you rate it. But Gonzaga wouldn't have been there. Tennessee would have been the fourth team had they won. And so Gonzaga gets there. And Mark Few has done an amazing job of getting that program, turning it into a national powerhouse. It's kind of amazing since taking over that job now, what is it, 19
years ago?
It's been at
least a decade.
I think he got there in 99.
No, I don't think he's been there quite that long. I don't think he's been there 20 years. He did not start the build. It was, I want to say, Don Monson started it. And then one of the problems that programs like I have maintaining success is that whenever you get, you know, 3 years of seasons or whatever, someone's taking your coach. And then you've got to get another coach to sustain it. So Gonzaga's lucky that once their program had started its rise, that they got a guy like Mark Few, who's happy to be a lifer at that place and happens to be an outstanding coach and able to build that program, you know, take what was already on the rise and keep it going to a level where now it's really an elite program in a non-major conference, but still an elite-level program. And it is an unusual story in college basketball to have something like that sustained itself for so long.
Jerry, there weren't a lot of teams or programs that had gripes about being left out. Was UNC Greensboro one of them who had a legitimate complaint? And also, when you look at seeding, was Cincinnati, after winning the AAC conference tournament, deserving of their number 7 seed?
Well, I mean, look, else to blame at some point. There was a game you could have won that you didn't. There was, I think if Greensboro could get with, you know, 29 points of Wofford the first two times they played them, they played them great the third time, but just got annihilated the first two times. You know, they didn't have their best wins or East Tennessee and Furman, non-tournament teams. I mean, they didn't beat anybody in the field. Greensboro didn't give the committee a compelling reason to leave them out, but they also didn't give them a compelling reason to take them. As for Cincinnati, that's the most questionable seed. However, it worked out well for them because they get to play in Columbus. So that's going to be – it may not be a Cincinnati home game because Tennessee will bring a lot of fans, but for Cincinnati fans and the Cincinnati program, really, you're better off being a 7 in Columbus than, say, a 6 in Salt Lake.
The fact that Loyola made it to a Final Four last year, everybody seems to be asking who's this year's Loyola, and I don't know – that there is a team out there that you can say looks like they're going to pull off whatever, three last-second shots.
You wouldn't have said that about Loyola last
year. No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So how do we determine who that team's going to be? I mean, a lot of things have to go your way in order to pull off that sort of a trip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, if it happened every year, it wouldn't be news.
Right.
So it's most likely not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
No, that this year's Loyola is not there. That doesn't mean there aren't double-digit seeds that could win a game or two, and I think Belmont's one of them. Murray State with John Morant, an NBA lottery pick guard on a small school roster is unusual. And although Murray State has had that kind of guy before, they had Popeye Jones, if you remember, but they might be able to win a game or two. They got a good draw, Marquette team that's really struggling. I think that Murray could win a game. I think Liberty could win a game. I like New Mexico State to win one or two. You know, those are teams that 12, 13 seeds, you know, those are dangerous teams. Pretty much all of them are dangerous teams. UC Irvine, I think, is playing Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. That's a really good team, and Kansas is a program that struggled this year to play away from home.
Jerry,
Kansas State they're playing, who's shorthanded.
Jerry Mulley's got Michigan going to the Final Four. I've got Purdue getting to the Final Four. Big Ten has 8 teams. Besides Michigan State, who we've talked about having to face Duke on the way there, anybody we're overlooking? Anybody that's got an outside shot of going deep in the tournament?
Not that deep. No, those are the only three that are equipped to go that deep in the tournament. You know, it's been a great year in the Big Ten. I mean, you were talking about before, you know, 3 ACC teams as number one seeds, but the Big Ten top to bottom has been unbelievable this year. I've been, you know, watching forever. I'm a Purdue guy, so I've been watching the Big Ten, you know, for 35 years, and it's never been this deep in terms of talent on the rosters. So, you know, Michigan, yeah, they're a great tournament team. They always seem to play above their seed. Gonzaga is going to be a handful. I mean, that's a team that can win the national championship, but they certainly have a chance. Michigan State's got a chance. Purdue will go as far as Carson Edwards takes him. You know, he was 4-for-17 from the floor and had 6 turnovers against Minnesota. They can handle 4-for-17 and beat somebody. They can handle 6 turnovers and beat somebody, but they can't handle both. He's got to take care of the ball and hit some shots, or Purdue will not last past the Sweet 16.
I think, you know, Purdue can obviously win in the first round. Then they face Villanova, which, again,
maybe.
Maybe.
Don't rule out St. Mary's.
Yeah,
see,
but I mean,
I got that upset.
I was just going to say, I'm glad to hear you say that. I look at coaches, and Jay Wright's an unbelievable coach whose team was terrible at the beginning of the year, and they've turned it around quite a bit. That's the only thing that worries me. But then,
well, that's Purdue's story too,
right? But you know, Purdue Tennessee. I was going to say Tennessee is not an easy draw. It just seems like they are really hitting some powerhouses if they keep winning.
And you're leaving out top-seeded Virginia.
Right.
I mean, that's a great region. You know?
Right.
And really, you know, Purdue is capable, absolutely, of a Final Four run. Their offense, especially when Carson Edwards is shooting the ball well, that offense is as efficient as anybody's. And they defend really well. And you've got a guy in Carson Edwards that's hard for people to guard. You've got a guy in Matt Harms that's hard for people to guard. And great shooters all over the floor. So, you know, they're capable of that kind of a run. But it's going to depend on Carson Edwards. He's going to, especially the deeper they get into the tournament, he's going to have to play well. He can't go, 17 points on 25 shots.
Jerry, after devoting so much time and energy to figuring out who's going to be in the bracket and getting all but one team right, and I think that's exceptional, which is harder for you, predicting that or now, predicting who you think will win and filling out your own bracket?
Filling out the bracket is always harder because you never know what you're going to get in the NCAA tournament. So that's what makes it fun, right? You try to find the potential upsets, try and figure out which of these teams had what it takes to win six games. It's not a very long list of teams to win six games, but it's a lot harder because it just feels like more of a crapshoot trying to figure out who's going to win all these games. Even though you know who's good, it only takes one bad day and you're out.
So who's your final four?
Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
Ah, so you picked against the Boilers. All
right. Well, I just think Tennessee's a tough matchup. I like them, though. Yeah. And Tennessee beat Purdue last year in the tournament in the Bahamas or wherever they played last year. And you could see this year's Tennessee team coming, and they remind me a lot of last year's Purdue team in that they've got really good college-level players, a couple of guys that have developed into potential NBA players, and then they're old. They're old and they're good. And you don't get a lot of old and good in college basketball. Usually you're young and good, and then the young guys leave, and you get more young guys to replace them. But Tennessee is old and good, and I like that.
Great stuff, Jerry. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
All right, thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.